My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we're talking about Teardown Part 2, which is the second half of the puzzle game Teardown. This extension was developed by Tuxedo Labs and released for the PC in 2021.
Yeah, this is kind of a revisit for us. It makes sense to revisit. There's tons of content here. Mm-hmm. It is essentially a sequel.
Yes.
You know, for this, but it is, you get it with the main game.
Yeah.
It's extra content for the main game. It's kind of an expansion, but it does finish the story, introduces a lot of new game ideas. The whole thing together feels like a complete package.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the weirdness of how games work.
Right.
That, like, the first part came out, and then there's also the second part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, if I'm being honest with you, relish getting to talk about Teardown again. This is a Cole pick.
Yeah, it's your best pick. And I say that, you know, the way that the world works is that makes it seem like all your other picks are dog shit. I'll let you chew on that. I'll let you decide.
Yeah, okay.
But the this is your best pick. This is the best thing I think that you brought. My favorite thing you have brought to the show specifically that I was not aware of.
Right. I love this game. I think this is one of the best games to come out in the past 5 years, let's say. and not even like with a qualifier of like, oh, for an indie or oh, for a game you can get for 20 or 30 bucks or whatever. No, I genuinely think Teardown is one of the best things.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a genuinely new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in vague terms, it's an efficiency puzzler.
Yes.
You know, which makes you think of like, what, like Zectronix games, kind of things. It's not like it avoids all of that kind of programmatic thing. It is such a delightful mix of plan and execution. I adore it. I like it more this time than I did when we covered it before. And I remember being sunny on it before. I don't know if it's a case of the right game, right time. I fucking slurp this. I replayed the first half of it.
So did I.
It was like 4 days or something, like something stupid. I just chugged this like my mouth was around an exhaust pipe. I had a duct tape leading from the garage to my mouth. Mom and dad are going and I'm going with.
Of Teardown. we're all tearing down, folks.
Yep. I just absolutely fucking Kirby chugged this. It is a great video game. So at the very least, maybe this will get more people to play it.
Please,
you know, knowing that there's the second half, like if it sounded a little one note, there are more notes introduced.
Yeah. I also replayed the first half and like very specifically like 100%. I didn't get all like the collectible valuables or whatever, but I did all of the optional little targets, right? Like within each map. And it's super satisfying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Because it teaches you to look at the space in a different way.
And what spaces?
Yes. We're not going to get a lot of remedial stuff on Teardown here. Treat this as an extension of our Teardown episode that we did in May of 2022. That is episode 356, if you're looking for it. We did that shortly after the game hit 1.0, after it left early access, rather.
Yeah, and that game, what we covered a complete story. is its own thing, had plenty of missions and plenty of side content. That is a full game.
Yes.
But it's also a very generous game. When it entered into 1.0, everyone got this part 2 for free, which is as long as the first part and experiments a lot.
Yes.
You know, again, there are a lot of new notes. Yes. The absolute broad strokes generalities of this, we're not going to go into a lot of it, but the absolute broad strokes, it is a sandbox voxel game where you go through story missions made up of destructible objects. And typically you're doing crimes. You're stealing and destroying on a clock with a very distinct planning phase and execution phase.
Yeah, and that is the big like innovation of Teardown, I think, is that kind of modal thing. So you have all the time in the world, you know, to plan for what you're going to do, knocking down walls and building ramps and, you know, just generally messing things up. All the time in the world for that. And then 1 minute to get everything that you need and then get to your escape vehicle on Venice. Yes.
So it's a route planning game in a lot of ways, but you still have the absolute thrill of the execution of it. I said this in the first part of this game makes me feel like a speedrunner. That's because I'm not as good as you are. Like, I haven't 100% of this. I do optional things when I can. But I don't, you know, I don't have lots of time to spare.
Right.
So there are plenty of times where the feeling of playing this game is trying to shave off a couple more seconds and looking for ways you can know the level or, very importantly, manipulate the level itself to shave those seconds.
Yeah.
You know, this is people talk about Neon White, and I haven't played that, but like people talk about that game as a game that makes you feel like a speedrunner. This game makes me feel like a speedrunner.
Yeah. Specifically with how iterative things are, like as I am running this, like I will, you know, quick save and then run something, like see how long it takes to get to like the first, like what do they call them in speed runs, like checkpoints or whatever.
Yeah, your first the it's not break, fuck.
Yeah, split. First mark. Yeah, split. First split. Yeah. And be like, okay, well, like the way that this worked, I screwed up there. I need to make this a little bit easier. I need to open up that hole a little bit more. And I saw this opportunity here, so I'm going to reload, go back, and then try it, and then see what the difference is on the timer as I get that. So it's this super iterative looping kind of thing as I'm laying down tons of yellow paint for myself with that spray can to mark the route that I want to do.
In addition, there is so much, you know, the thing that separates this from another efficiency puzzler to me, like in a Zachtronics thing, is that in a Zachtronics game, there is a correct, optimal, efficient solution. And you, once you know it, you just execute it. It's just a question of putting the things in place. This has this execution thing that forces you to improvise.
It has a certain amount of not randomness, because the physics in this are actually like pretty predictable, but there is a chaoticness.
Well, they're
especially
goofy,
when yeah, oh yes, super,
they're weird. Yeah. Like, they're predictable, but they're super weird. You know, and once you know them, you can know them, but things will not always work the way you want, even down to like small execution things. So like, you know, I know my route. I can make it. I miss this jump. Can I correct? Incredibly thrilling. As a thing, like, you can always just quick load at that point, but it's only a minute. It's worth trying to see if you can make it, because if you can make it with less than a second to spare, it's one of the best feelings in games.
Oh yeah.
And you don't want to trade that for anything.
Just that holding the breath as you're making, like, okay, the car's in sight. Here we go.
Yes.
Watching the clock tick down and then seeing that
sound.
Time die.
Yeah. The helicopters and the spotlights coming in. It is one of the coolest feelings in games.
Yeah.
I am amazed that nobody talks about this game more. I also think a cool reason why we're a cool thing about us doing this part two is it's really hard to find shit about part two
it
online.
Is.
Like, nobody knows about this. It's not on the wiki.
Nope. You know,
these levels aren't on a wiki.
Nope.
Imagine
not at
that.
All.
It's fucking 2024. You just plug into an AI and make it make garbage. It takes no effort to make things now. And nobody is even doing that effort. Like, there's just not stuff about part two. So, like, I feel like we're the only people on earth who are going to talk about this on a podcast.
It's fucking crazy making trying to find anything about this. Like, why are people not singing about this from the rooftops?
I don't know. I don't fucking get it. Like, I feel this, you know, this is something that we, every once in a while, we'll come into a game and we'll have that feeling, you know, and this is, I think, the most that you and I have been aligned in that feeling, you know, like, we both will feel in different degrees, you know, but usually it's like a sidekick. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I also love Amnesia the Bunker. You know, I love it. You know, in any world in a vacuum and no comparisons, mm-hmm. I would just be a huge fan of that game. But I have to stand next to Cole Ross,
right?
For whom it is the best, the best game of the year, and just like everything you want to see. I'm not saying mm-hmm. this to make fun of you because I like that game a lot. I'm just mm-hmm. saying that by comparisons, everything is relative. This is something where I also fucking really want more people to take this. And run with it.
I feel like the last time we were we were both kind of on the same page about that was Heat Signature. Actually.
Oh yeah.
As just being an absolutely delightful and revelatory game that also had that planning and execution kind of thing going on. That's secondary to what I'm talking about. But that was the last time that we were like, why wasn't this a bigger thing? Why isn't this an ongoing concern kind of deal? Why aren't there more copies of this?
It's real fun to find things that are right in the middle of our Venn diagram, mm-hmm. As opposed to things that are like, I like Frostpunk. I thought Frostpunk was really good. Mm-hmm. I didn't go deep on it. Like you like Monster Train, but you didn't climb all of the.
I didn't do all the ascensions.
With every clan combination. Mm-hmm. It's fun to find something that is literally our bullseye.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the edge if it's a competition on this, but I desperately want more of this.
Yeah.
The primary mission type in part one was heist. You do this, you would do a thing, you'd have this time. Part two contains a wider variety of mission types.
Yes.
That was really great. There are heist missions, plenty of heist missions, mm-hmm. but they really mix it up.
This was addressing a complaint about part one that I didn't have, because mm-hmm. that heist is always fun when you do it. Like, even if it's in the same space, like things will, this time you're going after cars instead of objects or whatever. But this was the thing people said about part one. Like, hey, this feels a little bit monotonous. I can understand that as a criticism.
I think the variety makes those stand out really well.
It does. Yes. This is taking bigger swings and not all of them are successful, but all of them do kind of demonstrate a very impressive amount of creativity with the component parts that they have kind of built up here.
Yeah. Using everything that's possible within this engine and this concept.
Yeah.
Story is a little bit of a secondary concern in the first one. It's amusing, mm-hmm. but you're not playing this for the lore. This one picks up right after that. Lawrence Lee Jr. is sent to jail for his crimes. That's kind of the arc of the first one. Game mm-hmm. sent to jail. And our work for the Evertides Mall, Gordon Wu, has brought to the attention of his boss, the mysterious Amatides.
I call him Amatides.
Yeah. Okay, Amatides. Yeah, I don't. Amatides. Amatides. Yeah. I don't know.
Breaking into two. Amana, like Shrine of Amana, and then Tides. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. Nobody says it out loud.
Yeah.
In the game, so I always say Tides, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Right. I don't actually know what it is. It ultimately doesn't matter to me that much.
Nope.
it's generally the politics of this game is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You are playing rich people against each other still.
Yes.
Which I like.
It is a fun little farce. Nobody realizes that somebody else is hiring you to do to them what they are hiring you to do to the other people.
Yes.
So it is fun seeing them can be completely unaware of what's going on. We're also continuing to assist this police detective, Detective Parisa Turdeman, who is investigating kind of on the trail of Wu and Amonatides. Amonatides is specifically. He makes this energy drink called Blue Tide that is incredibly addictive. So like we're trying to bring down this poisoning ring, basically. Slurm.
Slurm or Modicons mm-hmm. Or whatever, Oddworld shit.
Yeah.
They've improved their engine a lot. We get better ray tracing, better atmosphere effects. It also runs a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that it does in the sequel that would have made the first one chug.
Yes.
And part of that's I have a new computer, but I've heard this from multiple mm-hmm. sources.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of engine optimization.
Yes.
In this, which is really nice.
Yeah. Updating the development story on this, shortly after the release of 1.0, Tuxedo Labs was acquired by Saber Interactive, part of the Embracer Group, which is one of the most alarming things I have read. I saw that and all the blood drained from my face.
Yeah. I'm never going to be like gamers rise up.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to keep gamers down as much as possible. But if anything's going to happen, if we're ever going to like go storm a place, it might be Embracer Group.
Might be, yeah. You know,
like somebody on a forum has probably tried to William Wallace, like an entire subreddit into fighting in Bracer group in person, like, and going and getting shot by guards.
Yeah, probably
to the Embracer group for canceling games and shit. But they, if you don't follow the news, if you don't follow Jason Schreier, they are evil and they are responsible for a lot of layoffs and games getting canceled.
Yeah, big private equity firm that bought up a ton of video game studios and publishers, specifically hoping that there would be a second round of investment from the Saudi royal family and their sovereign wealth fund. When that investment didn't come through, and also because of changing market conditions, they start closing things down. So, like, all of these places got scooped up like 2-3 years ago, and then now they've been shutting down, including huge studios. Like, we are not getting a Deus Ex game that was in planning because of Embracer Group taking out us Montreal. Yeah.
Yeah. They came for me in my house.
Right.
You know, it sucks.
Yes.
It's really bleak. You know, people are going to look back on this time. Sadness for sure.
Yeah.
The reason why they specifically wanted Teardown was to get a hold of the engine.
Yeah.
The idea was to create kind of sandbox games that might compete with Minecraft or Roblox. That's not my business. There is mod support, and it's been expanded.
Yeah.
And there's tons of neat stuff to talk about that, both in unofficial and official mods.
Yeah.
That there might be a part three of this coming at some
point. Oh, there's a part three of this coming, because there's also DLC. There's expansions.
Yes.
And I've played both of those since we talked, you know, and they're great. There was the Art Vandals is 5 missions that were released in December of 2022. The map in that is fantastic. It's like a little coastal town, a little, coastal Swedish town. And then Time Campers, which was released in 2023 alongside the console ports. This has been brought to console, which is nice. But Time Campers, you're taken back to Wild West times.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for it.
It's really good.
like Wild West times.
Yeah.
That's fun. Another expansion's coming this year as well. Folk Race is coming out, so we'll do a part three at some point. This is going to become this weird little baby bird that we shepherd on the network.
Yeah, no,
you know,
I'm
just gonna have to be the thing.
There are things that I'm perfectly fine being just an unapologetic fan for. Like, this is the video game equivalent for me of like Moorhead and Benson films or the band Shearwater. Like, I just go to bat for this all the time.
And like, I like Benson and Moorhead films a lot, you know, so we've covered all of them on Unfilmable. This is that when we have one of these things that one of us is an unapologetic cheerleader for, and it happens to line up with the other person, it's just kismet. We're not here to look that in the mouth.
No.
So go back and listen to the first episode. Refresh your memory if you haven't listened to it. Above all, like, this is a fun game. You should play it. It doesn't play like anything else. You know, so at the very least, if it's not for you, which I can understand, you know, like, this tickles very specific parts of my brain. It will be a new thing.
Yes.
You will try a new type of game, a new type of mode of interaction with the medium.
Yeah.
One that is, you know, to my proclivities that I really appreciate, purely mechanical.
Yeah.
You know, it is not a new interaction. You know, we get sold new interactions a lot, and the new interaction is, you know, what if you were a frog that made friends? And the idea is, like, instead of it being Call of Duty, it's a new interaction because it's a dating sim.
Yeah.
That's not new. Those are ancient.
Mm-hmm.
We've had those. There's no innovation in that space.
Yeah.
Like, you know, dating sims all basically have the same mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you like them, and there are lots of games I like that basically have the same mechanics, it's not as damning as it sounds.
Right.
But this is like a new type of game.
Yes.
Is what it feels like. Not just a new set of theming or a new coat of paint or a new aesthetic. To a thing.
Yeah. This is new at the bones, which is very rare.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's do. So this is picks up after a time jump. We cut to 6 months later. Winter has come to the land that this takes place in, the metro area or country or whatever, called Locale. Is what this is. And you start out outside your warehouse. This is a place where you come back to in between missions. I love how it changes. It was even changing as you were remodeling it in part one. And now it's kind of been rehabbed into this big kind of fancy home that I love. I would live here in an instant, Gary.
It's a lot like the house from Big.
Yeah.
You know, or like the apartment from Big. Like it's one big room with a bunch of stuff in it.
It's the Wayne's apartment from Wayne's World 2.
Yes. Yeah. It's got that kind of like loft feeling to it.
Yeah.
And you know, you're making money in addition to this, like you are doing Robin Hood shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of, but you're getting yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this.
Mm-hmm.
The tools in this that you get, so tools are tied to your rank in this. You level up as you accomplish goals in this game. And that is how you determine which tools you have. So these tools that you have here in this, I think you can get them in part one.
Okay.
These specific tools. I believe so.
Yeah.
If you ranked and did everything.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure. You can also not start out with them, depending on how well you did.
Right. Yeah. You might not get these in until a couple of missions in, depending. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's something that's why you would do the bonus objectives if you were playing this for the first time, in order to jump the power curve. Right. Get, you know, to get something, to get a new toy. Yeah.
Yeah. So the new toys, we're going to talk about them as they show up. You may get them in different orders if you play. There are rocket boosters for objects and for vehicles there. They are what they sound like.
Yep.
These are fun for Gary's mod shit.
Yep.
playing around. I did not find them very useful.
No.
Personally, I'll be curious if you could find a way to use them.
The vehicle ones specifically were useful for a couple of the heists, in order to, cross large gaps. I use them, but object boosters, I never saw like a tactical use for them. It was more of like wouldn't it be funny if, and then the answer is yes, it is very funny if.
Yeah. And you could do it.
Yeah.
What I got tons of use out of, is the nitroglycerin.
Yeah.
These are remote charges. You've always had like little C4 charges, and pipe bombs. These are way bigger explosions, but they have to be shot.
Yeah.
Having to be shot is great, which means you get to choose when they go off.
Right.
And these are really, really good.
Yeah, they can they'll go off when shot. They'll also go off if fire hits them or if another explosion hits them. So you can set them up to chain in really effective ways. And all of the tools that you get, you can upgrade them with money. You know, you can make them more destructive. Guns have a higher range. Explosives have kind of more power, but also like a bigger spread, things like that. Mm-hmm. You can just, you know, kind of decide what you use. And all of this is in addition to one of the best shotguns in video games.
Yes.
Which is entirely for opening doors. Key.
Yeah. Yeah, which is one of my favorite things. Shotgun to not stop while you're walking. You also get the poison evil energy drink.
Yes.
Blue Tide. Very addictive. It makes you run really fast.
Right.
For short duration. This is what I would usually use probably in place of booster rockets. Mm-hmm. When I had to, you run doom fast.
Yes.
With it. Yeah, this is also useful.
Mm-hmm.
So every day begins with you checking your email. And we get a message from our mom, Tracy. Things have been quiet since earlier this year. Funds are running out, so we have to take a new job.
Yeah.
We're back in it, baby.
And it just so happens we get an email from Mr. Amonatides saying, hey, my subordinate Gordon Wu, you know, told me about you and the kind of work that you do. He is looking to upgrade the security at Hollow Rock Island, this place that we have been blowing up.
Yes.
But the company that he is going with will give him a discount if we provide corporate espionage photos of the robots made by their competitor Quillez Security. And we're introduced to a new map here, a gigantic new map.
Yes, huge. We're not going to do tons of things here.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a good amount here, but they're real different than most of the things we do. And this is a really clever first mission for the second part, because we have a camera. There is not a timer involved in this until you get to the last one. And it's demonstrating security bots. You're going through and taking pictures of security bots to check out their behavior.
Yes.
before they're deployed against you.
Mm-hmm. So this is a special little like sectored off part of the map that we don't get back to, but it's like an underground like R&D facility for this. Yes. You know,
you can go back here. Mm-hmm. They hide collectibles here.
Yes.
In this section, it's not instanced. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be instanced as well.
No.
You can break into this on later maps.
Yes.
To get stuff, but you don't have to. Mm-hmm. There's not missions down here.
No. But we get to this underground facility looking for the robots. You know, the future is here is written out in voxels. It's cute. Also cute mm-hmm. is our first robot being pushed around by automated pushers and never falling mm-hmm. down. And another is shot by a turret and it keeps getting up. This is kind of demonstrating how durable these things are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how resistant they are going to be to your normal means of taking stuff out.
Well, directly so. Mm-hmm. Like you can't hit them with a sledgehammer, you can't shoot them.
Right.
You know, and this is going to become a new kind of puzzle challenge.
Right.
Like combat puzzle challenge later. Mm-hmm. The fourth one is doing target practice and it'll kill you if you get between its bursts. Mm-hmm. Really tricky. When you do take a snap of the last one, the alarm does go off and it starts charging at you. And the base is on alert. You just have to run out.
Yeah.
All the robots chase after you. It is not too hard, mm-hmm. you know, to get away from them at this point. It's mostly you just got to see them in action.
Yes. Yeah. Between every mission, there is a little TV news bulletin. Also very cute little Lego people done up in the voxels. And there's a bulletin about Gordon Wu buying up all of Mr. Lee's old properties for redevelopment. We're going to see what he does with that chemical.
Foreshadowing plant. The best mission in the game, IMO.
Yes.
That is by far my favorite mission. Mm-hmm. And we get emails, you know, hey, money's coming in now. Let's get a van. Let's fix up that old truck and get you a nice van.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our police contact, Parisa Turdeman, her investigation of the Blue Tide energy drink shows that there's something in there that shouldn't be. The addictometer is off the charts. and wants us to go back to Hollow Rock to get clean samples of ingredients. Hollow Rock is a map from the first game, mm-hmm. But it's winter now.
Yep.
You know, which does change the physics mm-hmm. and stuff. Driving on snow is slippery.
Yep.
You get a tool for this pretty soon.
Yeah.
To take care of this, you get a leaf blower to move this stuff out of the way. And this is the map that we spent the least amount of time with.
Yes.
In the first one. So it is welcome to come back here. It is a cool map. It is a rocky island with a series of warehouses and then kind of like chalets.
Yes.
Yeah. In it.
Yeah. What I love is that they start introducing these, you know, these maps that have so much, like so many different separated spaces to them. So like there's the chalets, there's the like weird little Blue Tide bar with the outdoor gym down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the apartments.
Yep.
Like the small, like one room apartments. Mm-hmm. Except the research lab yeah. and the warehouse.
The little wharf with the lighthouse kind of at the center mm-hmm. of things. Yeah. It's a real fun
tons
space
of verticality as well.
Yeah,
there's like tunnels. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like the tunnels from Total Recall.
Yep,
down in the basement.
There's the fish processing mines.
Yes.
Yeah. So the mission briefing says like, hey, keep an eye out for security robots. Also, each sample is kept in a safe that can only be opened with explosives. And this is another alarmless mission. You know, first two missions here, no timer or anything. The only alarm that you have is the fire alarm. So you've got to get into each of these little facilities, working around the guard robots here, and using explosions to open these safes and then use your fire extinguisher to put out the flames so that it doesn't kick off a timer, which is going to screw you.
Yeah. And if you're anything like me, when you're playing a stealth game, you're stealthy until you can get rid of everything that makes you stealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this was immediate, like, how do I kill robots?
Yeah.
You blow them up, they just fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you kill robots? The secret is water.
Yep.
And this introduced my game long quest of being like, no robot may live. How do I stop the machines?
Uh-huh.
And it's really fun to try to manipulate and maneuver them into areas near gravity and water.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of watching PvP matches of Dark Souls 1 with people fighting hackers who were invincible and like being like, fucker, I'm going to find some gravity and get you, you know? But the way the robots work is when you blow them up, depending on the strength of the explosion, they will stay dormant for a certain amount of time. And during that time, you can pick them up.
Yes.
So like a pipe bomb just stuns them basically, but nitroglycerin or a C4, which you can apply directly to them.
Yep.
Great. Will put them out of commission for a couple seconds, which you then can then ram a car into them, ram them in the water or drag them over the water, things like that. This is also when I got really into fucking with their ability to walk. You know, if you throw a pipe bomb at their feet, it blows up a chunk of the floor. Their foot gets caught in the hole.
Yep.
That will fuck them up as well.
Mm-hmm. I loved luring them over bridges and using the rocket launcher to take out the ground beneath them. I also liked, you know, because you can pick them up, but they're heavy, you know,
they're super heavy.
Yeah. So, so you can't move them very quickly or get them over, you know, anything higher than like a waist high, you know, or like a knee high ledge. So like I would blow open a section of wall and then lure them in close to me and then knock them out near that hole so I could throw them out. Things like that. And they have different capabilities too that are different levels of dangerous. There are three varieties. There's a flamethrower, which is the least dangerous. Like it kills you super slowly. It's easy, super easy to get away. There's the gun.
It can start fires though.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a problem because of the alarm.
Yeah.
That's kind of the balancing factor.
There are machine gun ones, which will kill you pretty quickly, but they fire in bursts. Then there are rocket ones that are the biggest danger.
Yes. And as just, you know, for so nobody has to go back to the episode if they haven't listened in a while, the way health works in this game is it regenerates. You have a certain amount and you just have to stay out of danger.
Yeah.
And your health will go back up. So it's about avoiding a certain damage density as opposed to avoiding damage generally.
Right. Yeah. You either blow open the safes and doors and then put out the fires, or you can also pick up the safes and take them outside to the pavement where blowing them open is going to not start any fires. Pick your poison, right?
Yep.
And you're gathering up all these little vials, you know, these like all this biological material that they're putting into the slurm.
Dinosaur DNA. Dino DNA. we get all the stuff. We go back to, and also just again, as a quick reminder, we're not going to recount too much stuff. All these missions have necessary goals and then secondary goals, which you mentioned for 100%ing. It's always harder to do the extras if there's a timer. You know, because once you do one, the timer starts. On these ones without timers, you may as well get them all. And give yourself a little curve. We get back to HQ. And we fade in. They kind of do these little like time jump fade ins, like waking up as Trevor a little bit. You're boarding up your headquarters for a storm. There's news about a tornado approaching.
Yes.
The town of Frustrum, which is where the climax of part one happened.
Right. I got a new item, the rifle, which, okay, why would I need a rifle? It's not going to work on the robots, you know, the only combat, but it can very accurately shoot nitroglycerin from extremely far away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really good for that. And, when we get to the kind of, Eventide Island part of this game, finding a rifle is really good just because it's a bullet. You can use it on a lock.
Yeah.
So this starts a mission I think is really fun. Amanitides emails and says, hey, there's been a recent break-in at Hollow Rock. Again, it was you. He doesn't know. So there's production shortfalls. There's these tornadoes coming towards Frustrum. Can you go back? A local dealer has a surplus.
Yeah.
Can you go and get some of these kegs back so we can resell them?
Yeah. kegs of this blue tide. Instead of, you know, just needing to flee a pursuing helicopter through this, we have the whole city here, the whole little town open to us, kind of, you know, zigzagging along this river is what this is.
Great map. You know, really great map. Tons of interior spaces and everything. And it's being haunted by these little instanced like Mario enemy tornadoes.
Yep.
Mario 3 tornadoes that just pop up for a little bit.
In the West, you would call these dust devils.
Yeah. And they're very funny how they interface with the physics in this.
Because
they'll pick you up, but you just die from fall damage. There's nothing, you're not going to get hurt from flying around in the air.
Yeah.
So you can usually angle it so you land on a roof and you're fine.
Yep.
But then you're on a roof.
Uh-huh.
And you have to figure that out, or you're doing something, or it throws the subject of your search into the river.
That's that is the hugest problem. So, like,
yeah,
you know, you've got to move these big kegs. They are not just instant pickups like most of the items are. You've got to logistically figure out how to get them across. And you know, okay, so I have all the time in the world to get these, and if, you know, these tornadoes will pick them up. What you end up needing to do is figure out how to create as much indoor space as possible to move them through, because if the tornado picks you and it up, it will fling the keg probably backward or probably into the river, and it is difficult to impossible to get the keg out of it.
I did a really different strategy for this. I did not I traveled indoors when I was traveling, but as opposed to moving the kegs indoors, I did a stop and move,
okay,
kind of between tornadoes.
Hmm.
So like a tornado would come, I would stop, maybe put the keg off to the side, mm-hmm, so it's less likely to fly out, and wait for it to pass and then dash in between.
Mm.
And then if anything got in the river or got in an awkward place, I would put cables to it and drag it with a car.
Yes. Yeah.
Through there.
Yeah. Learn to love cables and planks in this. They seem like they're pretty boring compared to shotgun and rocket launcher. But the stupid stuff you can do with them is very useful, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Cables are great.
But yeah, there are these six blue kegs, and you know, they're in buildings and trucks up and down this. The trucks are a bit of a trap. They will be ripped apart, not just by the tornadoes, but also by the keg rolling around in the back.
Yes. The way that physics, we talked about the physics in this being, robust and everything, but it's undeniably strange. One of the ways is that, gravity and momentum work very differently.
Yeah.
Like an entire building can be held up by one strand of wood,
mm-hmm,
you know? And if something is heavy enough and it's moving quickly enough, it will destroy anything.
Yep.
It will go directly through an engine block of a car. a safe will go through an engine block of a car with just a little bit of force,
mm-hmm,
through that.
Yeah.
So,
you've just got to work to get these things. For me, the toughest part was getting the kegs across these drawbridges, there, mm-hmm, just because of the, you know, you're out in the open, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This town has across the river has a overpass,
mm-hmm,
or an underpass, you know, that you can move through. That is really nice for transporting things from the north to the south end of town.
Yes.
Yeah. And that will become a thing during future maps on this as well.
Yeah. But that little underpass sucks if you're trying to drive a very tall thing through it.
Yes. Yeah. Very tricky. Yeah. Even though you can just go for it and, mm-hmm, just shave the top of it off.
Yeah.
Cause I love, again, the philosophy of this game. You have to deliver it, but nobody said it had to be delivered in good condition.
Right. Yeah.
You're really, really creative mission. They don't bring back tornadoes.
Yeah.
Tornadoes are really weird, but fun, mm-hmm, to me.
Yeah.
And afterwards we get the blue tide.
Right.
For this.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get an email from Parisa, again, chasing down these blue tide leads. One of these samples had a shipping label, from the Evertides Mall. This was the inciting incident. The first mission in the first game, Gordon Wu hired you to take down this, historical site, like a little house, mm-hmm, kind of thing. So you could expand, the mall as, mm-hmm, it was being constructed. Now we're coming back to it, and here's the mall. Yeah.
Very similar to the soda production island. This is another map that we went to a little bit in the first game, mm-hmm, but not very much.
Yes.
There's just two missions. They're both really highlights, though. The first mission is really fun because it's a tutorial with no timer and you just have to destroy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very novel. The second one is the one where you get the military equipment to destroy the food court. We're going to spend a lot more time in this mall, and the mall is a great map.
Yes.
I love exploring malls in video games. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite locations in a game.
It's a much more interesting way to do a subway station kind of deal.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, you know, commerce, you know, we talk about this all the time on the show, like places where people live and operate as people,
mm-hmm,
are important.
Yes.
And instead of that, video games tend to put us in transitory spaces.
Right.
That like the purpose of the space in real life is to move one thing from another,
mm-hmm.
from one space to another. And the purpose in the video game is to move you from one end of the level to the other.
Yep.
And that consonance is poison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like no friction. Like I'm just moving through a sewer, which is designed to move turds from one end of a map to another. I may as well be a turd.
Yep.
This sucks. You know, think about all the shitty subways in Fallout 3.
Yes.
You know, for example. And then compared to like buildings where people do things, mm-hmm. like interesting things happen where humanity exists and is allowed to be human.
Right.
That is where you want to have your levels.
Yeah.
And this is a good example of that.
Yeah. So the shipping logs are spread all around the mall. And this is multi-story. Yep. So you've got this big courtyard in the center. And then kind of the north and south of it, I believe, I forget, because I have these maps not internalized as maps, but as 3D spaces.
Yes.
Because that's how you have to think about them. But like there are two like main sides that are pretty much entirely separated from each other outside of, you know, maybe a couple of leaps that you can do. And something about planning these routes is getting up and down is death. That's what makes the Quillez maps so hard, is they have those elevators that are a real problem. If you try to rely on them, it's not for that. And here
you want to fall down elevator shafts if you can.
Yes.
Cause it's fast.
Yeah. And for, you know, for any of these maps, you know, falling is faster than climbing. Right.
Yes.
And you end up having targets that are real high up on either side of this courtyard. And there is no way to, you know, there is no way to get at both of those without running across the entire map. And then climbing up or down at some point. So trying to figure out how to avoid that up and down or across is the main part of this.
I definitely tried to avoid the up and down as much as possible. Mm. The across I was basically okay with through demolition.
Yeah.
Because there are two on either side, on the east and west side of the mall, there are kind of office buildings that line the courtyard, or office rooms rather.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little security office, things like that. I think of this map, I found a skateboard, confiscated skateboard, $15. But I would make those into tunnels.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then I would energy drink juice myself mm-hmm. to run from one end to the other when I needed to.
Yeah. So like that is not a problem to do once or twice, but if you are trying to go from highest to lowest, that's how you're prioritizing them, then that would involve going back and forth way too many times.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. And like I ended up creating ramps and stuff like that too. Things to make me go quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, moving crates and boxes to make stairwells that went into holes in the floor I built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah. There's also a required pickup at this little restaurant that is across the parking lot near the water. Which means that this is probably where you're going to have to start at the ground level, because zipping out here and then zipping back, that is two long drives. You only want to have one long drive on this.
Yeah.
So this is where I started. Was this where you started?
I think it's where I started the first time I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ended up going from bottom up instead.
Okay.
So from the south end of the mall
mm-hmm.
to the north end, hitting this and making a loop.
Okay.
And then just clearing, cause I remember this being the first map that I noticed the snow physics
mm-hmm.
and the first map we, at some point in here, we got the leaf blower.
Yeah.
And the leaf blower is good for blowing debris, but it's also really good for blowing snow.
Yeah.
And I made a path, like a straight shot from this restaurant to my getaway vehicle.
Yeah.
That I could then drive a car at full speed.
Mm-hmm.
To get back. So it was end up being a big circle from kind of lower right, you know, starting the lower right, but then with the last little bit, grabbing this last and having it be, you know, 2 seconds of driving in a car really fast.
Right. So you start in the lower right down on the like by the grocery store.
Down by the by the grocery store, or by the little bay. The mall back rooms where Silent Hill 3
happens. the loading docks. This is where vehicle boosters came in handy for this, in addition to clearing out that snow. Mm-hmm. Like because there is active construction going on, there's a parking garage being built. Like if you just venture out a little bit, you find all kinds of fun equipment. You can be a kid on mm-hmm. site.
It's the kid on site video game.
I love it. It's so good. Yeah. I'm going to destroy those idiots. those Hoople heads will not know what's coming. the way that I did it was to get up high. I took a crane and I used that as like a big ramp. Go up, and I drove diagonally across the parking lot, and took the crane up and then started working from the art gallery, and then worked north, from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is basically the route that you have to do. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other little, trick things in this. There's an optional target inside a shipping container.
Mm-hmm.
And you can move that shipping container with the crane, mm-hmm. or a tractor to put it in a more convenient place, so it's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I realize whenever there's something that is, again, is just a little recap. These things are attached to alarms,
mm-hmm.
and these alarms are attached to the wall. Usually that is just part of the level geometry, but sometimes it's an individual object.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shipping container or a car or something. So if you can move the thing it's attached to, you can just move this and have it be in your space.
Yeah.
You can literally put this right next to your getaway vehicle.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, there's nothing stopping you.
So a lot of breaking this game and a lot of getting the optional stuff is being a bit of a rules lawyer with video game geometry.
Yeah. And it only allows you to do it so much. Like if something is attached to the wall, you might think like, oh, I'm just going to take out that wall.
No.
And carry that wall with you. It won't let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are places where you can bend the rules.
Yes. Yeah.
With this.
Yeah. So regardless, you set up your route, you blow a lot of holes and create a lot of ramps, and get what you need, for these shipping labels. And the news, back at headquarters where the first floor rehabbing is finished, we have a little gym. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The news is about the break-in at Evertides Mall. And this new owner is talking about a strategic partnership with Quillez Security to stop us from being able to come back again. Yeah.
Yeah. We know Quillez.
Yes.
We get an email from Amonatides, and he's furious. you know, this apparent information leak that happened, and he's firing managers left and right. Prisa emails us and says, hey, are you up for a trip? The shipping logs point to these far off Muratori Islands, specifically La Isla Estocastia.
Estocastica, the chaotic island. Yeah.
Yes. So we get an Eventide Island,
mm-hmm.
Part of this. That's referring to, you know, the highlight of Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
The part where, you know, 2/3 of the way through your game, they say, hey, can you play this game with no, like, starting from beginning?
Yes.
No equipment.
Yeah.
We go to a little island bungalow. We unpack our tools, and we only have our base tools.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was airport security. We could not bring nitroglycerin on an airplane.
Fascist. Airplane.
Fucking, yeah. Thank you, War on Terror. So we're back to basics. Sledgehammer, spray can, fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is procure on site.
Yes.
This is a really, really fun series of logs.
I love this so much. I love this map. With all the little coves that it has.
Yeah.
The fact that this is, you know, there are some cars here, but it is entirely boat transportation, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Is real good. So our first task here, Parisa says, yeah, there's an alarm system that needs to be disabled. In this around this island where the facilities for this chemical, mm-hmm. is being made. And then once you hack the first of these terminals, you'll have to hack the rest in under a minute.
A little variation on the heist.
Yes.
You know, so you don't have to get them back to anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to get, you know, once you've hacked them all, the alarm is off.
Right.
So you don't have to rush back to where you start. You can create a linear path,
mm-hmm.
not a loop.
Yes.
To this.
Yeah. So this is really big. There are lots of buildings and facilities tucked away in these canyons, mm-hmm. Around here. But mostly it's this big circular island that is also partly jungle as well.
And it's designed to make you appreciate your tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get here and you don't have ways to get into locked doors.
Right.
You know, you don't get the blowtorch. Meaningfully. So you find a gun, you know, a pistol, and the pistol has three bullets and that's three doors.
Yes.
I can get into to try to get more equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, and that it just makes you look at your equipment very differently.
Yeah.
Introduces for the middle act of this game or this part of this game, this equipment scarcity.
Yes.
That you have and equipment management that previous to this, you basically have no scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten so much money. Like the idea of running out of shotgun shells is ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this game, you know, everything I used, I had more than I could ever use until this point.
Right. Yeah. And that is a fun way again to engage with the component parts of this.
Yes.
Hugely creative. So there are six targets, and you only need to hit four of them. Two of them are required. They're marked in yellow. Those two need to be either your start or end points. So you're creating a linear path through these that begins at one or the other, and then hitting as many as you can in between.
And the map is designed to make this work. One of the things that you're going to run into are, and this is for this whole island arc, are these wooden radio towers, which involve climbing stairs. Climbing stairs can be slow.
Yeah.
You know, here. They have these terminals. I did this as well.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I try to do is knock down the tower.
Yes.
Through there. And you can do that there, but you can also knock to a degree at a certain amount of stress, it'll set off the alarm.
Right.
But you can also knock the terminals loose so they hang by a cable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can hack them from below.
Yeah. And you can,
again, rules lawyering the video game physics.
And you can also like, okay, I think one of them, it dangles kind of off of a cliff. Like it's really difficult to, basically impossible to get it. But you can like set up an object and then catch it when it falls and then just kind of like drape it over like a crate or something. So it doesn't dangle off of the guy wire. Inaccessibly. One of these radio towers ended up being very useful for me. I knocked it down, basically felled it like a tree, and made sure that it fell in a direction to cross a gap, so that I wouldn't have to go down to water level, rely on getting a boat up to speed, to get across.
Yeah. And felling it like a tree is difficult because if you just have one pole, it'll hold the whole thing up.
Right.
You have to make sure that when the whole thing falls down, it favors one side.
Yeah. You have to take down like a wedge, basically. So knock down all of basically halfway up on one side, in the direction that you want it to fall, and then knock out the back ones so that it falls toward the wedge that you took out. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a target that's a satellite dish on top of the central spire of the mountain there. So that's really tricky. You have to knock that loose to get there. And you don't have to make it to the boat, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
Once you get to the node, the alarm turns off. You can escape at your leisure, scour for collectibles, explore the map for future, checking it out.
Yeah. Hacking these things is not instant. It doesn't take forever, but you are watching a progress bar go.
Yes.
And that, being a factor with the strict time limit is also a fun little bit of stress.
Yes.
I'm not saying that sarcastically. It's fun stress.
No, it is good stress. Yeah. And it's not the first time. One of the later missions in the first part is also hacking satellite dishes.
Yeah.
So this moves us into the mission, moving the goods. Parisa writes and says, hey, it's time to try to confiscate these barrels of this addictive chemical. And there's no timer, no alarms. This is entirely a logistics thing. How do I move heavy things without all my tools?
Mm-hmm.
There are barrels, spread all around the island. A lot of them are locked up, so you have to get explosives, to get them. And then you have to get them onto these fishing boats to put them near the escape boat there. This is a thing where this ended up taking me longer than I thought. It's not a hard mission, but I kept like doing things like tying these barrels to cables to boats and then having the cable get caught on something, the barrel falling into the ocean.
Yep, no good.
And it showing up on the map as like 40 feet down and that's gone. Like you can't dive in this game.
Right.
You can only swim on the surface. So doing things like that to try to get boats to pull things here. And then also dealing with the kind of wonky boat physics of this. Boats are a little awkward to control. I imagine they are in real life as well.
Yeah.
But they're not super precise instruments.
Mm-hmm. Getting the barrels onto the boats is a bit of a high stakes affair as well.
Yes.
Sometimes it involves a drop. Sometimes you have to be very, very specific about the angle that it is going to roll off of a ramp. The fishing boat specifically, like a lot of the vehicles you can get into, have a separate thing you can move, you know, raising or lowering a boom on a crane, right? The fishing boats, they've got like a tailgate that you can open and close to varying degrees. So like lining that up so that it would be at the right angle to accept the barrel as it was rolling on and yes. not divert it so it falls into the ocean and is, you know, poisoning and getting fish addicted to blue tide.
It is getting fish addicted to soda.
Yeah.
which that's cool fish.
Cool fish. Cool. I love yeah. that. Love this fish.
Yeah, I love that fish. I know you knew I love this fish.
You got a good sound.
Yeah. but yeah, generally, you know, any of these things with no time pressure like that, you know, for the execution as well, tend to be a little bit easier. The only thing you're fighting against is biffing it and losing a barrel.
Yeah. But you just gotta load them up and then take them to the loading zone on your escape vehicle, get them out. Only three of them are required, but there's no cost to getting all five.
Yep. Then we get the kind of climax mission of this, Havoc in Paradise. Parisa writes and says, the barrels are en route to Lock Hell. We need to create a disturbance, so we'll interrupt the supply chain so the stock can run out during this investigation. But the guards know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Security is going to be a lot tighter this time around.
Yeah.
And this is an echo of one of the later missions of the first half where there is a helicopter hunting you through this.
Yeah.
That's so fun in this fucking game because it makes me feel scrappy in a way, like I'm taking advantage of my smallness, not in a Twitter, like I'm just a little special.
I'm just a small bean. Yeah.
But like, I'm just a small bean way, but like, it can't get me if I'm in a cove, you know, it can't get me if I, you know, it can't see me if I'm in a house,
yeah,
like things like that, like trying to take advantage of cover in a way that is, you know, feels very meaningful and scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that doesn't always feel in video games.
And also there's like a little bit of this joy and discovery of like, okay, well, this roof is not going to protect me because that gun is going to blast through this material, right?
Yes. You know,
there are gun emplacements, but you can't take the helicopter down.
Which I find to be a little bit of a bummer. A
little bit.
Like it would make sense for you to be able to take it down.
It should be.
Like, I understand from a gameplay perspective.
Yeah. But. Yeah. I mean, like to Monday morning quarterback, it's like, okay, if you shoot it down, it buys you like 3 minutes until another one comes or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a really good way to do it.
Yeah.
But you're exploding equipment.
Yes.
With this, and you don't have your explosive kit with you. You have to find explosives there. So it's you finding these things in this kind of semi-military, semi-soda related island where they might be hiding rocket launchers and shit.
Can I get something in a Marshall soda?
Military soda, you know?
Yeah.
Marine dry.
But yeah, you're trying to get around while keeping as solid of a roof over your head as possible. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you get around the island, you know, keeping cover. Eventually you get through. This is not too difficult. It's just really fun.
Yes.
You get a really fun side mission here. This woman named Elena emails you, says like, hey, I've got a lot of information about this drug, but I want revenge.
Yeah.
Will you sink the CEO of Soda Gun Island's yacht? And this is just a really, really large, impressive yacht you have to sink. No alarms or anything. It's just, how do I get this at the bottom of the fucking ocean?
Yep. this is an echo. There's a mission in part one where you have to take down the tower at Lee Chemical.
Yes.
Except this time it is a gigantic yacht on this, you know, off of this island that has all of these gun emplacements, and also there are a ton of explosives. You just have to figure out how to get the yacht exposed to the guns, or get the guns to the yacht, and also get the explosives to the yacht after you go and gather them.
Yes. Really, really fun. You know, there's all these little propane tanks around that you can put. You can kind of sprinkle, you know, make the ship a pinata.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is vaguely satisfying in like a Hitman way.
Yeah.
You know, in a kind of a fuck the rich way.
Yes.
You know, you shouldn't own a yacht.
No.
There shouldn't be yachts.
Yeah.
What a middle finger to humanity that invention is.
If there's a big boat, it should be for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Big stupid boat.
Yeah.
So you blow this up. You have all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. This is just for fun. You're a dog with a chew toy.
Yep. I enjoyed dragging the foundering yacht around using the fishing boats as tugboats, and then just keeping mm-hmm. it snagged on a cable to get around.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually ended up being the secret to doing tons of damage to it as well.
Yes.
If you can drag it into an island,
mm-hmm.
The way that this is largely a destructive environment, but every level has a bedrock that is indestructible.
Yes.
And if you take anything and rub it up against that, it's going to lose.
Yep.
So you could put huge holes in this boat just by tugboating it close to the shore.
Yeah.
Through this. Really, really fun mission.
Yes. Yeah.
So we return home at this point. We've done the thing.
You get some new ranks here. After a certain point, it stops giving you new tools and you start getting cash rewards, which is just fuel to upgrade the tools that you have. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have unlimited things they can give you in this game.
Mm-hmm. There's a broadcast about this military truck that got stuck in transit over through the canal in Frustrum. The river got frozen and it got locked up. And there's also a story about what Gordon Wu was doing with the Lee Chemicals property. Gordon Wu, we know from fucking around at his house, he's a big car enthusiast. So he's opening a theme park themed after cars, his racing Wonderland, Gordon but for Wonderland. Wu.
It's very fun that he's doing it there.
Yep.
It's such a petty little rich guy squabble. Like, I'm taking your ancestral, this thing that your father built,
mm-hmm.
And turning it into a monument to my hobby.
Yep.
That's gonna be that very fun side mission.
Yeah.
There. We get a main mission first, though, Truckload of Trouble. Amonitides writes you, says, "Hey, I figured out who's responsible for these recent break-ins. You had to steal this military truck that is stuck, that you heard about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna get revenge on this."
Yeah.
And the town is in the middle of this huge snowstorm.
Yeah.
The roads are full of debris. There's stuff has been abandoned. Cars have been abandoned,
mm-hmm.
things like that. The canal is locked up with ice flows. Ice mm-hmm. Flow is real weird in this game.
Mm-hmm.
As a semi-solid surface that you dare not transport anything over.
Oh God, no.
Like, if you're walking, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. And it will fuck up a vehicle. Like, you cannot just push a ship through it.
No, no.
It makes the terror make sense. Like, it's not a thing you just get to push through.
No. Cold water also will do damage to you slowly over time.
Yes.
So falling into it and not having a way out is a bit of a bummer. So the parts of this ship, it's broken, or it's broken in two, and they're on little barges that are locked up on the river, and getting them off of this barge over over the ice, or getting the barge to the shore past the ice, and then getting them getting the pieces safely onto terra firma, that's the tricky and kind of janky part of
this.
Yeah.
What I ended up doing was busting up as much of the ice flow, so the barges could go.
Mm-hmm.
And then using kids on site, real life construction equipment for kids to cable them out.
Yep.
They're really heavy.
Yeah.
So this only kind of works there. This is before they introduce the crane that's built for this, that has the braces.
Right.
That you eventually get that will lift up anything.
No, this is where they introduce that.
They have the brake. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, this is the one where they introduce that.
Yeah.
So you have a thing that you can lift things out. Otherwise, though, if you're just using cables and using like a bulldozer,
mm-hmm.
it will tip your bulldozer.
Yes.
A lot of the times. This recreated that feeling of trying to get traction in winter, like you're rocking a car back and forth. You're really well.
At some point, I'm going to inflict SnowRunners on you, Gary.
I'll take it. You know, I was out there putting boards behind them because I remember doing that in real life.
Uh huh.
You know, with cars.
Yeah, no, just like okay, I can back up. It's not going to go as fast, but it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more powerful. You're going to back up and get traction and then run over it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You do that during this.
Yes.
Is basically how I handled it.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, this was all about getting the crane to where it needed to be. So this crane, it's like a two-stage crane. The part that you drive is like the truck, and then you can also put down these stabilizing legs. Then you have to get out and go into the back part of it to access the crane, which is much longer and can extend further than kind of the smaller cranes that we've been using. It still has like the little dangly hook that you have to like magnetize onto the thing you want to lift up. This is all about getting this crane to where it needs to be and then clearing the path for it to navigate up, you know, through that underpass and over the and over the bridges right that are kind of locked in place too. Did you get the optional? Did you get the super tires for the truck?
Yeah, I did optional on anything that didn't have to do it during the 1 minute.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It did it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure what I did was for all of these things, because I didn't end up using the overpass.
Mm-hmm.
Or the underpass for this, was use that crane. I parked it across the river and used it to transport things to the other side, like land things,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that weren't on barges,
yeah.
onto land, and then just dragged them through the streets. It was not elegant. the two-man crane thing made me want a co-op version of this pretty bad.
That's a feature that is coming, actually.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So yeah,
that's a cool idea. Like, you'd have to have the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to play it co-op, but like you want to both want the same thing.
Yes.
Like if one person just wants to fuck around, that's going to be hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if everybody's committed to it, you could coordinate some real cool shit.
Oh yeah.
With us.
God, well, I can't wait to play this co-op. It's going to be so fun.
It's a really, yeah, it's real fun. I'm looking forward to the new content as well. So you eventually get these back. Back at HQ, the news talks about this missing truck, airs a commercial for the newly reopened Evertides Mall.
Yeah.
And we get this side mission ornament deal. Gordon Wu emails catch up. He lost his job at the mall. He's working his theme park, though. He's got something in the fire. And he's like, hey, steal the mall's gigantic Christmas ornaments.
Yep.
So I can use them for the park's grand opening. They're all alarmed individually, you know, like ornaments are.
No, this isn't an alarm. This is when the security bots are out.
Oh, got you. Yeah.
Oh wait. Oh shit. Wait. Yeah. So this is security. Okay. So that's what this is. It's almost like I took notes for a reason. I forgot. I just didn't read one note down.
These are the These are the guys who. Yeah. They don't have little alarms on them. These have the guys who, if they spot you.
Yes. So this is.
This is the stealth one.
Yeah. This is this is stealth. And a lot of the alarms are these long like garlands. You know?
Yes.
So it's like carrying a big, like a big foam snake around.
Yeah. A lot of the ornaments are garlands.
Yes. Yeah. Ornaments. Yeah.
You have to drag to the place,
mm-hmm.
There while the guard bots, and there's water on this map. There's water on all the maps, but it's far away.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really going to get rid of these
no
guys. And if they spot you, it's game over.
Yeah. It's not instant. Like, if you are in their sight, they'll make like a beeping and you have to get out. You have to get out of their sight. So it's, you know, they spot you, then you go and hide, and then they go back on their patrol.
Yeah. Yeah. But if they spot you long enough,
yeah,
you know, you don't get to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
There, but you're checking out and getting all these little bits of ornaments from here, from the ceilings, from different walls, things like that.
Yeah.
There's a big light ball that's hanging from the ceiling of the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to drop, and you can do this by shooting the cable that it's on with a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
You can snipe it
yep.
down, which is really fun.
Yeah. And then the last big ornament is actually up on the roof, and you have to figure out how to get up there. I got out on this little terrace and used a potted tree as the foundation for a ramp to jump up mm-hmm. there. How did you get up there?
I'm trying to remember. I think I just climbed out. I think I tunneled, basically.
Okay.
You can go to any corner of this building. Or of any building,
mm-hmm.
blow up the wall, and because the wall will make a circular explosion.
Oh, it's like a little stair step. Yeah,
yeah, it's like stair step. So I'm pretty sure I just did that.
Mm-hmm.
like took a corner out and turned the walls into stairs. That's why I did a lot when I needed to quickly get up and down in the mall.
Oh, generally. That is super unreliable. I can't believe that worked for you.
I don't know. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
I could get up there. It was always, you know, and there were times where it would like make a hole that was too big.
Mm-hmm.
I would just have to remember to jump it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you get up on the roof and then you, take down the star. None of them are hard to get, hard to get to. You just, cable them and then, here's what it is. Because nothing in here was hard, I wanted to make this a little bit spectacular. So what I did was I got one of the big fast trucks. I cabled all of the ornaments to the back of it. And then I dragged them through the little ding zone.
Through the finish
once.
Line.
Yeah, I dragged them to the finish line all at once.
Nice. It's so telling that this is, this game knows that you're just going to play the levels because they're fun.
Uh-huh.
Because at this point, it's out of rewards to give you.
Yes.
This is a side mission, and ranking up doesn't do very much.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have your tools basically upgraded.
Yes.
You know, but you're still doing them because they're fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a side scumbag who we met in the first one as well, who's back.
Yeah, Anton Wolf.
This guy who likes stealing tools.
Yeah, he's the contractor who was hired to work on. He's the person who hired you to demolish the food court so that the parking garage could be built. You've got to go and steal some jobs from the Quillez.
Steal some tools.
Yes. Yeah.
He also had you steal tools from the marina at one point.
Yes.
They had valuable tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've got to go steal the tools from Quillez. And Quillez is in the process of installing these heavy duty safes around the facility. So that's what these tools are being used for. And this is to my mind, the hardest of the heist missions because Quillez is so big.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I played this a while back cause I needed it,
mm-hmm.
So I remember the individual concepts of the map. Sometimes it's hard to remember the amount of rigor.
Yeah.
That individual thing happened kind of from here on out. These things took me a while, to make them work.
Yeah.
Like they weren't, nothing was super odious. Like I like the difficulty curve of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was making me too mad.
Yeah.
But I do think this is the hardest map. It's not the map that I had the hardest time with, which is the laser map.
Yes.
And that's more of a function of the controls,
mm-hmm.
of the game than anything.
Yeah.
Else.
Yeah.
This ended up not being too bad to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just this requires a lot of prep and a lot of again negotiating with the geometry because you have these elevators. This is, I think, the most verticality that is in a map. You do not want to rely on those at all. This kind of involved blowing huge holes for multi-story drops that absolutely should kill you, but because of the physics and damage model in this, if you just like manage to like land on something, just touch a wall on your way down, you're good.
It resets your fall.
Yeah.
The other thing that's worth noting, I don't remember this being super hard, in part also because I wasn't doing all the side objectives.
Okay, I was doing...
Like, I didn't try to 100% this game.
I was doing side objectives, and I had to build some of the wackiest ramps you've ever seen, Gary.
Very, very fun.
Yeah.
Stuff. So you eventually, there's a tool, there's the fancy CEO's office, which you can find, and this is on the other side of the map. They do this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They put one thing on very far to give you like a transport logistics puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
How did you tackle that?
Yeah. So to get through the up and down, one of the wacky ramps, you can just blow a hole up through the floor. And mm-hmm. I stacked barrels to be the kind of the basis or foundation for like these switchback ramps that I made to get up there fast. It is separated from the parking garage, where one of your final where my final target was, one of the safes is being built in the parking garage. And I had to like engineer a blue tide fueled jump, across a gorge basically to get over there.
And jump Springfield Gorge.
Yeah. To jump over there, blew into the side of the garage. The garage has the little ramps, to get the car up. I was like, okay, well going around the ramps, can I blow through the pavement? Yes, you can, but you also have to position cars underneath that to build your own ramp, like counter to the angle of what it was to get up there. And then even with all of that prep, my run still had me finishing with basically 0.3 seconds left to make the jump off the top of the parking garage down onto the escape vehicle, pressing the E button at the right time to escape,
like in the air.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Really great. Mm. I understand people listen to this and don't think this is fun. Like if you're listening to this and you're like, this doesn't sound fun. What's going on with you?
Hey, nuts. Hey, come over. I need to study you.
Yeah. This is just, I don't know. We talk a lot on this network about like the stuff you do in a game matters. Like, what are you doing?
Yes.
You know, at the end of the thing. And like, that isn't just down to the literal mechanics, like of jumping and running and stuff like that. But are you doing a cool fantasy?
Yes.
You know, and it's a really cool fantasy to just be unsupervised in a very high tech place you're not supposed to be in that is very complicated that you can make your own.
Yes.
Like entirely. Like that is a really fun fantasy.
Yeah. There is no consequence at all for just blowing out a wall for shaping it to, you know, for taking the intended, you know, the intended design and flow of this space and then shaping it to your very particular, very stringent needs. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very fun form of disrespect. You get to doing this, you know, and just senseless. It's like senseless destruction. But it's a thing where I feel like this might be the handshake meme between myself and people who hate violence in games.
Yeah.
Like if you're like, you can't get on board with Hitman, like that's part of the fantasy of Hitman to me as well.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I don't know, I'm going to fucking throw a knife at this kid. He's got to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fantasy for me, you know, in a pure sense, but people who don't like that, can you at least get down with blowing up a wall?
That, oh, Gary, you know, property like, crime, you know,
oh, yeah, it's yeah, what kind of nerds? I want to find the fucking, I want Tucker Carlson to make a stupid face at this game. You know, like leftists are playing this game when you do property crime. And it's like,
they're doing it.
Property crime's not real.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers. Anywho.
Yeah. It is wonderful. When I've tried to sell this in the past to people, I have described it as Hitman, but with property crimes, in order to get across the fact that like, this is an incredibly violent game, just not personally.
Yes. Yeah. You are a dog with a chew toy, but it is a chew toy not shaped like something alive. You know, this moves on to mission connecting the dots. Parissa emails you with another job to close the case against the Monotides. They need to intercept communications that are being routed through the Evertide Mall.
Yeah.
But they're encrypted by a satellite. So this is really clever. You have to position this van so we'll intercept the signal from all of them at once.
Yeah. So this seems like something. All right. The transmitters.
This is fucking nuts.
I love this so much.
Yeah. This took me, the jank ass shit that I did for this is ludicrous.
My story of how this ended up working for me, the first time that I did this, I think during Duckstream, I ran out of the previous game that I was playing. So I was like, I'll just fire this up and we'll see the story of how it worked out. We're just like, oh shit, is this how this is going to work? All right, the timer started. Let me just try. And then I succeeded basically without a plan.
That's great. That's a great feeling.
Yeah.
I remember, so you have to position this van. You can move the van.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to have clear line of sight between these transmitters.
And be within a certain distance as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it will give you a little line, like a little dotted line when it's within sight, and then a solid line when it's within both.
Right.
Sight and distance. I ended up tunneling through the top floor of the mall and using the crane to park the van up on the top floor of the mall through the wall.
Oh, you parked the van. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I moved the van into the mall.
All right.
Is how I did this.
I had the van dangling from the top of a crane out in the parking lot by the front of the mall.
I think that I originally was going to have it dangling, but I ended up parking it because I needed the crane for something else. This is one of the bracing cranes that you can do for everything and I think I ended up using that crane as a ladder to get to something when I needed to actually start doing hacking.
So the judo in this is you have to position this, but the transmitters they're not in a place where you can naturally get this line of sight. So the transmitters are also attached to security kind of things. So it's not instant fail when that starts, but what that means is you have 60 seconds to get the transmitters in position and then get out of here. Two of the transmitters are on the back wall of the mall, kind of like facing outwards, right? Yeah. So my part of this was, all right, I didn't feel like doing all the tunneling. Can I position trucks underneath those transmitters and then shoot the transmitters so they fell into the back of the truck, and in one case through the top of a taco truck, getting lodged in it so I could drive, okay. So I could drive it around, and then, you know, drive them to the front of to the front parking lot so they were within sight, and then have an escape vehicle that got me to my escape vehicle.
Yeah, there's I ended up doing a lot of tunneling, yeah. And it just a signal has to go through as a direct line, mm-hmm. through this. So you can use, you know, this huge flaming wall through many different layers that just have this little radio signal going through. It's just ludicrous. Like, you know, again, just the amount of wonton destruction is beautiful.
It's so good. Yeah. But yeah.
Really, really good.
But just like, you know, getting the truck in just the right spot, you know, so that when I shot it and when the transmitter fell, it would land in the back and then clearing, mm-hmm. the path to like drive them around the building to get where, yeah. it needed to be. Yeah. I don't know. It was a lot of saving and reloading, but it was incredibly satisfying to get there. Yeah. In addition to like moving a trailer that had a radio tower on top of it,
yeah.
with the crane, yeah. to get it in position. Yeah.
Yeah. Real tricky.
Yeah.
Once you get through this, the TV is playing a story about how the mall was vandalized, but nothing was stolen. Everything is on sale because the mall need to close for renovations because, mm-hmm. you fucked it up.
Yep.
And a little commercial for the grand opening of Racing Wonderland.
Wonderland, please. Wonderland.
Yeah, thank you. Wonderland. we get a side mission here at the pawn shop. Anton Wolf, our scumbag who likes stealing tools, is leaving the construction business. He lost the contract for the Evertide Mall. Everything is connected by a thread. Here. So he's going to open a pawn shop, and he's like, hey, Frustrum is still evacuated. You know, everyone's at the big mall fire sale, mm-hmm. at this point. So it's not very, you never run into another person in this.
No.
It's worth noting, you know. So go steal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is not even
it's not justifiable at all.
There's nothing justifiable. It just steal things from people's homes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got to plan a route. Everything is connected to the alarms. You have to plan a route along this incredibly long and narrow map.
Yes.
You know, Frustrum. And complicating this is the fact that the escape van is in the middle. Like if the escape, mm-hmm. van is what was at one end, it'd be super clear where
that
to
other
start.
End and then,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you have to make your, you know, you have to head on back.
Yeah.
Kind of make little shuttle runs,
mm-hmm.
Through this. Yeah. Really fun. I don't remember very much specific what I did.
Yeah.
In this, you know, I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, this was easy, but I don't remember exactly what I did.
Yeah. So for me, it, you know, it's easy enough to create a path, through kind of the main drag of buildings, kind of the, you know, the main street there of the storefronts and the apartments above it, grabbing the stuff that's there, but you have to cross the river and then get back again. Right.
Mm.
And there's this other fancy building that's like a big house near the river that is difficult to get up into. It's multi-floors. So I used a crane to make
it's a hotel, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The other one you're talking about, I think it's a hotel.
Yeah. I used the small crane to create this ramp up to the floor of the big of the hotel there to get, mm-hmm. the target that I needed there. Blew a hole on the other side facing the river. I backed a one or two box trucks into the river to make a bridge to get across, to get a hold of the mandatory items that were on the far side of the river, and then to get back across, instead of going on along the road through the underpass, there's a sports car in one of the garages. And if you hook up the vehicle boosters, you don't even need a ramp. You can just launch. You can just blast yourself across, and before you hit the ground, you will be on the street on the other side. No, you'll crash, but you can, if you jump out of a vehicle while it's moving, you keep momentum. So like you just launch and then just jump out and then,
yeah.
you know, you are in a position to get to the escape van. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Real, real fun. Yeah. This, I love this map as well.
Yeah.
Like I love being in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
In a video game, with semi-realistic proportions.
Yes. Yeah.
Once you get to the end, of this. Once you get this, we get a duet of missions. The one who I think is really interesting, mm-hmm. but probably the worst executed map. And then my favorite map of this level.
Yes.
The first one, the required one, is called the droid abduction.
Yeah.
A Monotides emails you and says, hey, you need to steal some prototype robots from Quillas. So we can use their technology in whatever we're building for revenge.
Yes.
And the droids are storing these super secure safes.
Right.
Quillas is also making this heavy duty cutting laser
mm-hmm.
here.
Problem is, it's not a gun. It's not anything you can drag around. It is stationary.
It's the Paracelsus sword.
Yes.
From Resident Evil 3. Yeah.
You're getting a lot of mileage.
I think Paracelsus sword a lot.
You do.
A lot more than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You start thinking about Paracelsus sword more.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. I don't know.
Killed Nemesis. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's hard. This is unlike any of the other ones we've done.
Right. It's also falling a bit into like a video game trope, you know, of light direction kind of thing.
Yes.
So yeah. You've got to direct the laser beam to hit the safe. And when it hits the safe, it'll open up. I want to save what happens when you open the safe for the second phase of this.
Yes.
Like directing the laser is its own thing because you have these little reflector blocks. And this
And the laser, okay. We didn't mention this. The laser cuts through anything.
Yep.
And it goes infinitely far until it hits bedrock.
Right.
It doesn't kill you.
Nope.
If you touch it. That would make this intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to accidentally step in front of this laser a lot.
Right.
Through there, but the laser is going to, so you have this big map full of walls and floors and ceilings and this light that will cut through anything that you have to redirect to a specific spot.
Right. You have little wedges that will act as reflector blocks. And then you have these director blocks, where no matter how the light enters it, it will always go out the side with the red dot. And this is very fussy. You are making adjustments, and you are also trying not to destroy parts of the geometry that you need. A lot of accidentally falling through floors on my side because I didn't realize that I had destroyed it.
And you're thinking probably like, oh, you just pick these up and point them in the right direction. The engine doesn't work that way.
No.
In most video games where you can pick something up, you can then rotate it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that in this.
No.
And everything being a voxel means that we don't have things snapping to a grid.
Right.
In this. So if something lands and it's just tilted a little bit, it's an analog game.
Yeah.
That laser is now at an analog angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to stick to right angles or anything. So it will go down, you know, at a 15 degree angle or what have you.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with that. And you have to, since the safes are on the bottom floor and the laser's on the top floor, you have to start manipulating that.
Mm-hmm.
You need the laser to go down as well.
Right.
Which is not intuitive. These wedge blocks that refract it do not point down easily because it's a triangle. You're trying to rest the triangle on an acute edge.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use those redirection blocks. And all those things are semi-limited.
Yeah.
You can find more than enough, but they're not all in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For this, I ended up making all kinds of silly like contraptions to try to make things, you know, make something balance exactly the right way.
Mm-hmm.
For this, and the thing that's frustrating about this mission to me, as much as I love the ending of it and I love the idea of it, is just having a little, you know, if you hit E and Q
mm-hmm.
while you're holding a thing up, having it rotate in your hands mm-hmm. seems really easy to me.
Yeah.
You know. Does not seem like a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I have no idea how hard it would actually be, but if they're requiring this precision of you, I need something a little bit better than throw this thing in the air and then hope that I catch it at the right angle. Yeah,
yeah, or trying to move your whole body, you know, with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing that, you're sending out ridiculous swaths of destruction. Moving your body to try to re-angle this. And again, some of that stuff you might need.
Yeah. This is, I think, the biggest gamble that they take. And it's also the one that pays off the least. But
yes,
I don't know. It's hard to be too mad at it.
I'm not mad at it. Like, once I got it, I got it.
Yeah.
And the end makes the payoff good enough. And it's worth saying, like, you know, this has bigger swings and they're not all winners.
Mm-hmm.
Even the losers are still fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't hate this mission. I just got frustrated with the controls. And it's noteworthy, this is the first time I got frustrated with the controls in a way that, like, in a video game, there should be an easy way to do this, and there's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did not feel like a meaningful friction.
Right.
That I could not rotate an object
mm-hmm.
in my hands.
Made me too aware of the box, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, those moments in video games where, like, I can't do anything better than any video game protagonist.
Nope.
But when you can,
mm-hmm.
like, when you notice, like, oh, I could do this in real life better than this guy is doing this.
Yeah.
And this guy, like, jet boosts cars over rivers and then... takes flying jumps to land in the driver's seat of a getaway vehicle. You know, this you're playing Brock Samson, basically.
Basically.
And if I can do anything better than this guy, that's a problem.
Right.
With my shitty body and a stupid brain. And that's what I ran into with this.
Yeah.
The payoff is totally worth it.
So you think.
Eventually you get there. It was absolute Keystone Cops. There's no, like, you know, is horrible laser positioning.
Yeah.
You know?
Total mess, total nonsense. And you think, like, everything else that you've stolen, like, oh, these robots, they're going to be dormant. Right. Like, I'm just saying, I'm going to grab them, you know, I'm going to pick them up and take them to the boat or whatever. No, not the case. The laser touches the safe. The door swings open and out comes a robot that you have to lure back to the boat.
Yes. It's going to chase you through there and you have to make it chase you while dodging it.
So all this prep that you've been doing to get the laser where it needs to go, that's only one half of the story. Now, because I did no planning the first time that I saw this, like, how do I navigate this thing, taking advantage of its AI, while not also dying to get it to this kind of weird and awkward part of the map?
Yes. Yeah. And the required thing is just getting one robot,
yes.
which is what I did.
Yeah.
I have no idea how you'd get four, because once you get unlock the first one, you have a robot on your tail.
Yeah. It doesn't start it doesn't start a timer. So, like, you catch one and then you reset directing the laser to open the next one, then you do it over and over
that
again.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you get them back to the boat, back at HQ. There's a news broadcast of a teenager who was found unconscious, in Frustrum, surrounded by a bunch of empty blue Tide cans,
mm-hmm.
and people are starting to protest.
Yeah.
To get this, poison energy drink.
The tide is turning.
The blue tide is blue turning. But then you get the best, mission of the game, I think. You get this email from Lawrence Lee Jr. He was our primary mission giver in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
He's locked up at Lock Hill, State Penitentiary. And it's this nonsense thing, but if you, as an acrostic, the first letter of each word spells out demolish Wunderland, big reward. And you get to go to another place I love in a video game. I love being in a mall, and I love being in a theme park.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about this is it is a retrofitted space that you know very well.
Mm-hmm.
If you played the first one, this is the map you spend the most amount of time on.
Yep.
It is a really, really into a space, you know, really intimately well, and you get to see it transformed into an amusement park.
Yeah. An amusement park that is just full of all these tacky car themed rides. Yeah.
Yes. all of which need to be demolished down below a certain level.
Right.
Where they'll give you a little dotted line that floats in the air, and that have alarms that can go off, but don't necessarily go off.
Right.
Through there. You can make this work. Like, I rolled the fucking Ferris wheel into the water to destroy it, and it didn't set off the alarm.
Nope.
And I was like, yes, I've always wanted to, you know, in, you know, superhero things and stuff, a Ferris wheel always comes loose and starts rolling down. You get to do that. And have it roll off into the river. It's so good.
Yeah. So the thing that will make the alarm go off is if these neon lights are broken, and the different rides all have different neon lights, some of them moving. You can very slowly destroy one of these buildings and just, like, catch the light as it falls and then gently place it on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, but you can't do it for all of them, right? So this is where nitroglycerin came in clutch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is, like, nitroglycerin's time to shine.
Yeah.
Like, setting up a nitroglycerin charge across the map so I can snipe it on my way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a thing, like, this just needs to fall on my way out because I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to go over there. I don't have time.
Yeah. And so tactically weakening each of these rides, any of the ones that you can't, you know, take down, you know, carefully to spare the neon, but, you know, tactically weakening them, setting the nitroglycerin, and then your 60-second run is you moving through this map, shooting the explosive charges in order. As you are making your escape toward the escape vehicle, it is one of the most badass things.
It's really fun. The I had heavily invested in nitroglycerin by this point. So the small squat building that is to your left when you enter the park.
Yes.
That you have to bring down, but it's a total tuna can.
Yeah.
Like it's low to the ground. I had placed my extra nitroglycerin at like different intervals around the wall to shoot it on my way out and set a chain. That just meant the whole thing go down below the line on my way out. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I had used most of my nitroglycerin charges and I didn't have enough to do that kind of chain. So what I instead had to do was destroy the entire back of the building. And then set the two nitroglycerin charges on the front wall where the neon charges are, or where the neon lights are, so that you could just, all you had to do was take down the front wall in order to satisfy that requirement. Yeah,
really cool level.
Yeah,
real fun to go around to and just check out a shitty amusement park. It has a whole hotel.
Yep,
you had set up a whole hotel section, which there's no objectives over there.
Nope,
there's just all these little houses you can check out if you want to.
Yeah. I believe this is one of the maps. Most of the maps have challenge versions, which are hard to talk about. But they're challenges that are either like the chopper escape challenges where you're trying to get around without being killed while taking stuff. There are destruction challenges where you get stars depending on how many voxels you destroy, and they load the maps up with all kinds of fun shit to do that. You have 60 seconds to cause most destruction. But then there are heist challenges where it's just like, here's the map. Here are all these objectives. All of them are optional. Your score is based on how many you get. I believe that this version of the map also has a challenge. So that is where they would put that hotel.
They would put that. Yeah.
That's where they put that. Yeah.
It does double duty because if they're doing, it allows for challenge ceiling for like different map stuff. But even when you're not using it, if you're just doing the basic level, it adds a sense of like verisimilitude and exploration.
Yeah.
And they'll put like money there.
Yeah.
You know, so you get the very simple carb of just like exploring a little space, which is fun, but it's not just for, you know, the main event.
So you return to your headquarters, and I love the news broadcast you get, the shade in the caption there, talking about racing enthusiast and former millionaire Gordon Wu filing for bankruptcy after the destruction of the Racing Wonderland. And never even got a chance to open.
Yeah, you get to stick it to everybody.
Yeah,
both these assholes who are playing you against, you know, playing you against them.
Yeah,
each other in the first one. This brings us into the next these final three main missions. This first one, Handle with Care. Amonatides writes and tells you that the next part of his plan requires a large quantity of nitroglycerin. And I wanted to be like, every time I come back home, my pockets just refill with it. Let me make a couple trips to the store, and I'll give you infinite. But in real life, he doesn't have license to buy it. Quillas, though, has just received a large shipment of the stuff, and he wants you to go steal it.
Yeah. So the facility is now being patrolled by its own robots. It is not, they're not just in the safes anymore. And the nitroglycerin is stored all over the place in these canisters. The problem is the robots will shoot at you. You are carrying the canisters. The canisters will explode.
Yes. The mission title made it seem like, oh, like you can't walk very fast or something.
No.
The nitroglycerin canisters are actually pretty sturdy. They just can't take a bullet.
They can't take a bullet, and they can't drop too far too fast. Yes. Yeah.
They can drop a little bit, though. Like, they're not, you know, as fragile. I treat them with less care than I would real nitroglycerin in this. So this is a test of fighting robots, basically. You want to disable the robots. Another disappointment I have in this game, you know, that I love, is I thought I'd be really clever because that laser is still here. And I'm like, if I reposition that laser and lead the robots into it, that should kill the robots.
Yep.
It cuts through anything. It doesn't.
No.
It just bounces off the robots. I find that to be a big bummer.
Yeah.
You know, when it took a lot of, it took more work than it took to actually kill the robots to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be rewarded for it. In real life, though, this is where you use your rocket launcher to make them go dormant for a second, throw them into the water. You can also do things like effectively get rid of them. If they're on a wooden floor, you can smash the floor beneath them and they fall down onto a floor below you. And then you can block a stairway.
Yep.
With debris, so they can't get back up. Things like that. You can like basically amontillado them.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. No. I just decided they belong to Poseidon now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. This map comparatively has, it's not that there's little water because it's in a bay, but there's less access to water possibly. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely a lot less of it like dangling over water that can be strategically used. Most of the robots are kind of just locked in their little facilities, but not a huge problem to deal with. With the map clear, you can start working with the nitro canisters, getting them down from high places, especially down in that little warehouse that's just crates. Location for crates, your place for boxes, yeah. Crates and more.
I think boxes, crates and more also has a permanently tipped over forklift as well.
Yep.
Which I always think about. I like that attention to detail. That's the kind of thing I would do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, I can't deal with this today. And then that becomes tomorrow or the next day. I don't know what to do.
Oh, that's how you end up with a hoarder house. That's how you get trash in the oven.
Exactly. Yeah. Starts with one tipped over forklift. But once you take them out, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no timer or anything. You just have to get rid of the robots.
Yes.
Once you do, you go back to headquarters. Your character's mom, Tracy, calls and invites you over to Cullington, you know, new map, for dinner. And our HQ is all decorated with Christmas stuff. Amonatides emails you a photo of what he's working on. It's this thing called the Truck Terminator. It's this big exploding truck.
Yep.
And he says, like, hey, you've helped me out a lot during this. I have a gift for you that you can pick up at Hollow Rock Island.
Yeah.
And me, I was like, oh, this is a trap.
Mm-hmm.
He's figured out what I've been doing. No, he's gifting you a tank.
Yep.
It's great.
he is. There's just nothing going on behind the eyes there. Just the glass
all
eyes.
These fucking dopes.
A doll's eyes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you get an email from Parisa saying, hey, I finally have enough evidence to search Hollow Rock, but Amonathides has the place filled with security robots. Can you go and basically soften up this target before we do this raid? So you return to Hollow Rock Island for the first time in a while, and it is indeed crawling with robots. There are five required,
including like the robots from Doom.
Yeah,
like the Arachnoid is here.
Yeah,
and well, stuff. It's great.
That's the main threat that's at the center of the island. It's a big spider robot that has all of the weapons.
Yes, Wild Wild West shit.
Yeah, but you arrive on a boat, and then you go up and you see that there is a gift. It's a big, like a big gift wrapped crate, and you pop it open and there's a tank. We've used a tank before in the destroy the food court mission. But here it's yours. It has a ton of shells. The problem is getting it to where it can be used.
It's very durable,
yes,
as a tank would be. Like, you can just, if you leave the place you're start as,
mm-hmm.
you can just drive through the research lab without stopping in the tank.
The trick is getting down like a 4-foot drop without getting it wedged.
Yes.
And stuck.
That is the trick. And you end up doing these ludicrous things, like it gets wedged and you're like, well, I don't want to reset necessarily. Can I throw a pipe bomb to dislodge it?
To just jostle it?
Yeah,
give it a bit of a jiggle.
Yeah. And it makes short work of the robots.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot them, they go down for a long time, and you can push them. You can use it as kind of a bulldozer to shove them off the map.
Yeah.
Through this. Really fucking fun victory lap mission.
Yeah.
You know, it does have the big challenge. The spider bot in the middle is hard.
Yeah.
You want to bomb it, but it's hard to push around, and it's in the bottom of the map, lower than sea level.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to basically lure it out. Once you lure it out, it's okay.
Yep.
But you have to get it. You can't fight it on its turf.
Yeah. At far range, it has rockets. At medium range, it'll use the machine guns. At close range, it will use the flamethrower. The problem is the flamethrower will heat up the tank and it will cause damage to you over time. So you can die by having it cook you in it like it's a bronze bowl.
Yes, you can be George Foreman cooked by this thing. But it's the rest of them are just fun. Like, this is just the most destructive you can be and the most vengeance you can get on robots in one map. This feels like a victory lap mission to me. You get back to headquarters and you see this news alert about the truck's Terminator. It's heading towards Cullington.
Yep.
Has no driver. People are fleeing. It's going to explode. This is where you're going to meet your mom for dinner.
Right.
So this cannot be.
No.
And this brings you to the final map, which is another swing. Like, this is a new thing it's having you do.
Mm-hmm.
This took me more tries than I care to admit.
Yep.
Because it was not necessarily clear what would constitute a fail condition.
Yeah.
For this. This is the final diversion is the name of this.
Right. So Amonatides emails you saying like, hey, somebody ratted me out, but I was able to hide in my vault during the raid on Hollow Rock. And you know, the person I'm trying to get revenge on, you know, here's a photo of this LTS van. LTS is,
that's you.
Yes. Lakel Teardown Services. It's the old van. You got the new one. Yes. Your mom has been driving the old one around. This photo is from an old job and they're sending Truck Terminator to blow up your mom. and then Tracy emails saying like, can tonight's dinner be a little later? I got this new tanning bed. I'll be in the basement with my earbuds in. so she hasn't evacuated like everybody else.
Yes. And the way this works is the truck's terminator is a big truck full of nitroglycerin and it's heading on a slow but sure path down this new town map.
Yes.
Directly towards your mom.
Right.
And you have to divert it
mm-hmm.
and make a clear path for it to the ocean.
Right. So there's this big boom that is kind of dangling, you know, sticking out in front of the truck that has a red like beacon on the end of it. That is the explosion zone. If that touches something, then it will explode and it's game over.
Yes.
So as you are trying to clear a path, like, you know, you're trying to knock stuff down below that point, but also trying to clear stuff out. So as you are running trucks and stuff into this to point it toward the ocean, that it will not get hung up on geometry that's already there and then just get like steered toward a mountain or something.
Yes.
that you can't deal with.
It's really hard to predict what's going to happen exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you can, if you put a construction equipment in front of this, it will stop
mm-hmm.
like dead to rights. It won't, you know, a parallel bulldozer
mm-hmm.
or perpendicular bulldozer will stop it.
Yes.
But then you have to make sure the path is clear and you're kind of looking at the line
mm-hmm.
that it's traveling and making sure it doesn't hit anything.
Yes.
Because even something that's below that line, if it makes it tip a little bit,
mm-hmm.
it can fuck up your whole trajectory.
Yes.
So this just took me several tries. I think this is a really cool idea
mm-hmm.
For a mission. You know, it really neat, like using every part of the box,
yeah.
executing on this engine and stuff. It's just end up requiring like kind of being fucked before I knew I was fucked.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
a couple of them, mm-hmm. you know, which is a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't keeping rolling quick saves
mm-hmm.
Through it. Oh, I don't think you can.
No. You know? It's only yeah. one quick save slot. Yeah.
So the, you know, something would happen. I would have a quick save and it would get down to the end. And I'd realize like, I don't have enough time
yeah.
to divert this or to clear a path. It has somehow touched a piece of gravel that is pointed towards this mountain that yeah. I cannot destroy.
It's also the fact that like the vehicles are the least predictable things in the game, you
yes.
know? So like you can, you know, and very cannily, like heavy vehicles are arranged on either side of the path that it's taking. So like,
yes.
you know, you could just like run back and forth between them as it goes down and then just like ram it and steer it. But again, you only have so much control over the path that it's going to take given what it runs over. So
there's so much stuff in a beeline between it and the ocean as well.
Yeah.
Positioned in really insidious ways. Specifically, there's a house that's being constructed that you have to completely tear down because if that little red bit touches anything that's up in the air,
yeah,
that's it.
Also, trees. Goddamn trees, Gary. Yeah.
Trees in video games in general are a real problem.
Yeah.
This game, I give this game credit for allowing you to use a sledgehammer to knock them down.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, but you have to like completely demolish them into like molecules.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To get rid of them, or just drag them off. You
right.
know, you can knock down a tree and then drag the whole thing off. But
mm-hmm.
it's difficult.
Yeah.
A cool execution. I'm glad there aren't like a bunch of these missions.
Mm-hmm.
It's keeping the tradition of like ending a part with a weird kind of gimmick mission.
Yeah.
Which I like. I think this is a little less successful than the helicopter
mm-hmm.
Mission in the first part.
I can agree with that. I like what this does because like it's a different kind of time limit. It's a time, but it's also a time limit that you can that you can manipulate. Like when I first did this, like there's a fish truck in the field that you can can run into the side of it. And I ran it into the side of the Truxterminator, and I got lodged in such a way that the Truxterminator just started going in circles, which gave me infinite time to clear the path. But then the trick was figuring out how to release the Truxterminator from fish truck lock at the right rotational angle. So when it started heading off in a straight direction, it was going in the path that I cleared.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, tricky, not perfect. But a fitting end.
Yes.
To this, doing this new thing, this very big explosive ending. It falls off this cliff into the water. Mm-hmm. You save the day. Just fish again.
Uh-huh.
The soda fish are exploded.
We've ended their misery.
Yep. Yeah. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. And we get credits, you know, over a scene of our character watching the news with their mom, watching the news with Tracy, rendered very cutely in little voxels, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the news is talking about Amontides being arrested. You know, they caught him leaving the vault. And this is being played, you know, what is being played over it is this very fun song. It's called Lokel, and it's a Swedish lounge singer kind of style going over it. It is very cute.
Yeah. And that's a teardown, the complete teardown.
Yes.
Like, it makes sense for us to do this as two episodes. It would have been a very long episode if we had done both as well.
Yep.
But yeah, this, I want more of this. Like, traditionally when we play something like this that's unique, the thing that we say is like, I want to see what comes next from this developer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. But with this specifically, I will take mission packs for the foreseeable.
Oh yeah.
You know, if they just want to keep iterating on this, you know, I want to see what comes next in this genre almost more than I want to see what comes next from this the specific developer. Like, I trust them if they're going to spread their wings.
Yeah.
And I encourage that. I want that for them, but I also just want more of these levels.
Yeah.
You know, this has left me wanting more in a way that is rare for this show.
I'm very happy that I've gotten you fully teardown pilled. I know that you liked it before, but I feel like you're matching my energy here, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. It's I don't know how much of it was just right game at the right time. Mm-hmm. Like, this came after Unavowed.
Yes.
In my play order.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, and we had just done stuff that was talky.
Yes.
For too long. And you know me and talky games, like, it's not my favorite thing. And doing something that is like pure gameplay and pure, you know, cerebral exercise with just a hint of stressful execution, you know, at the end was just like this beautiful cocktail.
Yeah.
You know, to do at the end. It's such a fun form of strategy. Like, it's imperfect information.
Yes.
You know, you are not doing strategy like you do in like a deck builder. Like, it's not, it's semi-deterministic in an absolutely perfect ratio.
And it's, you know, it's something that, like, this is a very pure expression of something that, again, to bring this back to Heat Signature, a game that I think about, you know, along with this, but this is a much purer expression of it, where it's just like, a game that, you know, encourages very meticulous planning, right? Setting up conditions to be, you know, to be like you need them to be. But then you have the chaos of execution, you know, there. And you find this in bits in a whole bunch of games. One of the reasons I love Hitman. Right.
Yes.
I think you see that there. And, you know, it is something that I run into quite a bit in encounters in Baldur's Gate 3 as well.
Yes.
You know, just like teardown very specifically crystallized for me, like, this thing that I did not know that I valued so much in games. And I'm spotting it in smaller doses in all of these other places. So, like, teardown has made me think about games differently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that planning piece. A lot of games do it to a degree, you know, like, you know, to your point, it's a thing that I really love about Baldur's Gate as well.
Yes.
You know, it's just a different execution, a different fantasy for it. And it's different than just, not to be confused with like prep, like, Witcher 1 style elixir prep.
Yeah.
You know, or it's something more complicated and with more points of articulation than simply, I'm going against fire, get on some fire resistance.
It's really,
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, again, to use our buzzword, it's really integrative.
It's really integrative and expressive prep.
Yes.
Because you and I tackled these, like, partly because you did the optional things, but partly just because of our, you know, expressive is the word, because of our individual personalities and stuff, we tackled these, I imagine, worlds apart, every mm-hmm. single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we talked about it a little bit, but if you were to put our playthroughs of each of these levels, we took totally different paths mm-hmm. to get to the, you know, in some cases, the exact same place.
Yes.
Right? Every time, that was an expression of how you want, like of like a freedom mm-hmm. to it. You know, there's no rails feeling to this. And even something like Baldur's Gate 3, which is, you know, my best game I think has come out in a long time. Mm-hmm. There is still an element of rails to it. It still has this kind of constrained system.
Yeah.
You know, I can approach a fight in a lot of different ways and a situation in a lot of different ways, but not as many as this. It's not as like expressive as of who I am, mm-hmm. you know, like this idea that I could be like, well, fuck this. I would rather just like go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing and the game saying yes to that in ways that games don't often say yes,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is the finest thing I think a game can do.
Oh yeah.
You know, is, you know, I love strategy. I love use my noggin mm-hmm. and I love game saying yes.
Yeah. I say somewhat jokingly a lot of it, you know, sorry, pretty frequently. This is video games to me. Tear down is video games to me.
Yeah. Like, yep. It is a great example of, you know, it's not my favorite game of all time.
Right.
Right. Like it's hard for me to think of, you know, last week on the Dispatch, we talked about perfect games mm-hmm. and we talked about, can a game be perfect while, you know, or be like a favorite, like how good can something be if it omits or occludes like an entire aspect of the rich panoply of what a video game can do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you end up with something like Teardown, which I think like the narrative for this is very cute.
Yep.
And super serviceable, but I'm not going to bat for it.
Right.
You know, there's not like thematic shit to chew on in this unless you're the most, you know, intolerable writer that's ever existed. Like, you know, you can probably pitch to paste and get the themes of Teardown mm-hmm. written, but it's not a holistic, it's not like Disco Elysium, right? Like yeah. it's not touching my heart.
Yeah.
It is touching my heart with play to the degree that a game can,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just really, really valuable.
Yeah.
Fucking A. Really, really good. I had to play those, you know, since it's probably gonna be a couple of years before you do those DLCs, I'm mm-hmm. going to start working on those.
Oh yeah.
Just cause it sounds good. You know, and I'm a little bit ahead on work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's wonderful. Yeah. I don't know. They're very different as well. Like mm-hmm. Art Vandals is very specifically like, just kind of like a new map and, you know, several different mission types, playing with that map. And like most of the maps, they're different corners. But like, mm-hmm. The Time Campers is almost like this little miniature campaign. I think there are three maps in it. And because it's Wild West, you get like new tools, with it as well. Some of them are just like reskins, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything. So
I appreciate that. Like even just a new map, like the, in terms of just spaces, this developer is really good at making these locations really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, so just a new map is good, mm-hmm. you know, and this is, I haven't even fucked with mods, right? Like I was looking through mods and stuff and there are campaigns, there are different, genre settings.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a level set on a space station where you have to figure out what happened on the space station
mm-hmm.
through there and stuff. Like it just feels very generous. Yeah.
New tools. Mm-hmm. Like there's a shotgun grappling hook, kind of pull from Doom Eternal. There are new vehicles that you can get as well. And then just new sandbox places, right? That aren't campaigns, but it's like, you know, here's an airport, right? Go and run through that. Right. Sign me up, buddy.
just ludicrous. You know, really surprisingly, I really thought for beating the game, they would give you a handheld version of that laser.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a missed opportunity. So give me that laser,
please.
Give me that laser. That's going to be it for this episode. Thanks everybody for listening. If you have thoughts about Teardown or any of this month's games, please write in by the 15th.
Please.
At duckfeed.tv/contact.
If you can. We have other games that we're talking about this month as well. So we have The Room, talking about the first entry in particular, but the series in general, the kind of room escape puzzle games that came out originally for iOS, but have very good Steam versions, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then our premium episode is about Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yes, the bite-size Spider-Man.
Yes.
There are two Spider-Man, and one of them is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the smaller of the two Spider-Mans.
Why doesn't this bigger Spider-Man just eat the smaller Spider-Man?
Well, somebody needs to play Spider-Man too.
Mm, okay.
We can finally get to see Peter Parker devour Miles Morales.
Mm-hmm.
One big bite, just, like a boa constrictor.
Yeah, methodic, like a dead-eyed and methodically.
Yeah, he piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not demographically identical to us and you have a project you would like us to shout out, please send me an email with your pronouns, contact information, the website of the project, and hopefully like a paragraph pitch, you know, just to give me an idea at gary@duckfeed.tv. We'd be happy to shout it out.
Mm-hmm.
Next month's games. I should have.
I was going to say. Yeah.
That's okay. Whoops. That's fine. It doesn't matter. There's no rules. Mm-hmm. Don't promise anything that's a rule.
Yep.
Next month's games, if you have things to say about Dandara, Lunacid, or Super Mario World, write in by March 15th or April 15th.
Yes.
At deckfeed.tv/contact.
Yes. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please write multiple responses and try and keep them, you know, short and specific, about two paragraphs. Yeah,
paragraphs are great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're sending in the pitch, when you're sending in these writing things, paragraph, couple paragraphs.
Yeah.
Super good.
Join us in Milwaukee, if you can.
Yes.
We're going to be in Milwaukee for the Midwest Gaming Classic. That is happening the first weekend of April, specifically April the 6th and 7th. Downtown Milwaukee, their convention center there. We'll have a table. We're going to be doing a live show. Details to come. Watch our social media for that.
Yes. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You get all these bonus episodes like Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Super Mario World, and all of our old ones.
Mm-hmm.
$5 does it.
Yep.
It's really affordable. That gets you real itch hours, we mentioned. Baldur's Gate 3. I think there's probably crossover fandom in this game if you squint.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to it just being a great game in its own right.
Yes.
You can listen to our show about that. Shadow of the Erdtree coming this summer.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to our show about Bonfireside Chat, our show about that.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of shit. And it just takes $5.
Yes.
Book 25 a week.
Yeah. It's we try to pack it with as much as we can. We think it's a good value.
No. Less than the price of a Sprite.
Yeah. Man, have you tried to buy a Sprite lately?
I haven't.
It's like $3.
I did buy some Sprite flavored Tic Tacs.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Yeah. They are pretty magical. They taste like Sprite.
Hmm.
Join us there, rate and review us on your favorite podcast directory. Mm-hmm. And join us in thanking our producer Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
Yeah, we really appreciate Gwen.
Yeah. And until next time, you have 1 minute.